This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, obviously the culture rides shotgun and the wins, losses, they're riding bitch. I don't even think they have a seatbelts. That's where we're at. Landry Larker, Wade Smith, in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig holding it down, being the best in the world at what he do. We'll get into this Justin Reed situation in a sec. If you want to sound off, 713-572-4610. David Coley basically said they got some more conversations to have. But just looking at the game itself, Texans fall to the Jets 21-14.
Mm-hmm.
We can slice it up and we can say, you know, they could have done this. They blew a 14-3 lead. But in the big scheme of things, I think this was a win-loss. Gloria from White Men Can't Jump, she said it beautifully. And I think in this case, I don't necessarily think it was a loss win in Tennessee, but I think this was a win-loss. I think this was a game that you needed to lose against the Jets. Gloria, explain it for me, please.
I got a different set of rules of my own. You want to hear them? Here they go. Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win.
Yes, and in this situation with the Jets down there in the standings with you, letting the Jets have the head-to-head tiebreaker, which drops draft stock, that is a significant loss for the Texans that I think puts them in better position. We mentioned Aiden Hutchinson at Michigan. It looks like Kayvon Thibodeau will be the number one pick. We don't know. We'll see. But the Texans, if the draft began today, they would now have the number two selection in the draft instead of, you know, five. That's big. That's big. So in the big scheme of things, I can say you can say that I think you benefit from that. But that doesn't take away any level of frustration from what you see on the field, because the reality is David Coley and Nick Caserio, et cetera, they're not trying to lose.
They're not.
They're not trying to lose. And with that in mind, they got so many problems when it comes to functioning as a football team on the field. It's frustrating, especially when you watch a team like the Jets that is the same record-ish in the standings, now a game better. When you see the way they function and the way that when they want to go forward on fourth down, they're ready to go and they're already out there and they're lined up and everything. They seem to have a feel. You talk about them having a system. Like, if knowing that the Texans are trying to win games right now and they're not just losing on purpose, it's hard to watch, man. It's hard to watch because they don't have a clue about some of the things that it just feels like, from a simp like me, that they should have a little bit more of a clue about.
Yeah, man. When you watch them play and you see how inconsistent they are as a group, you see how inconsistent from one quarter to the next they are, how many opportunities they squander, how many times that you don't understand the thought process of behind, you know, we're going to run the ball on the first play of the drive, getting ready to go into halftime because we're going to get the clock going and make them call a timeout, but then you throw the ball the next play and it's incomplete. Like, if you're going to be conservative. If you're going to be aggressive. But when you jump back and forth and it doesn't look like there's any rhyme or reason, it looks like you're chaotic and you don't know what you're doing. And that's the problem. They got to stick to the script and then adapt as they need to adapt. But when you go from one play to the next, it ends up biting you in the long run. When you look at the way the roster is made up, and especially on the offensive side of the ball, when you hear the head coach consistently say, we can't get behind the sticks, you hear Brandon Cook say, we can't get behind the sticks because if we get behind the sticks, we're not going to be successful. you're basically saying we're not good at football.
Yeah. And because, he's right.
I mean,
he's right.
And it's the truth. It's the truth of the matter. And, you know, you read between, that's there's like a politically correct way to say it without just coming out blatant saying, like, if you're a good football team and you have talented players on offense, third and nine is not that big of a deal. You can convert those plays because you have a guy that I can find a matchup and I can exploit it and make a play because my guy's better than your guy. They don't have many guys on the roster that you say my guy's better than your guys. Now they had that on the roster yesterday with Brandon Cooks against 37, but they only threw him the ball, I think, five times. That I don't understand why you don't throw Brandon Cooks the ball when he's the one guy on your team that has a legit matchup in his favor, and they don't exploit it. And then later on in the game, they throw the ball to Nico Collins against 37. That just in critical down and distance. I don't know how to rectify that or reconcile that. Like, what is the thought process going into it? Is it something to where you're saying, hey, this is about our system, and so if a certain guy is open, that's the guy we're going to throw the ball, as opposed to, hey, we're going to just throw the ball to certain guys? To me, that would be in line with what they've done, and that's why they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins and all these type of players. But if you look at the Patriot way,
what do they hang their hat on?
There's nothing to hang on. There's no coat hanger. There is no closet. There's nothing there. What do you mean? What do they hang their hat on?
I mean, what exactly?
They can't run the football. They tried to be a running football team coming into the season. They can't do it. And they give the ball to guys that, like, Rex Burkhead needs to get 20 carries a game. He has juice when he runs the ball, but we're talking about Rex Burkhead. Like, Rex Burkhead is supposed to be a third down guy that converts for you on third down, you know, throwing him the ball to the backfield or giving him a draw every now and again to keep people honest. He's not a guy that you should be giving 20 carries a game to, but based off of what they're getting out of the guys on the roster, he's your best bet.
The problem I have, Smitty, is that I don't expect them to win games, but they are trying, and they just don't have any feel of a football game. And this isn't like it's hard to do this. This isn't like a coach learning on the job. David Culley has a lot of help. Like, I think the second half of the game yesterday, and this is definitely like something that I don't think too many people are talking about. This is definitely a legit nobody's talking about. They don't have any feel. They don't have any direction. They don't have any guidance. And I'll go back to this, to the end of the second half. The Jets had the ball, and they were in the red zone. And the Texans, out of the two-minute warning, they decide that they're not going to call a timeout after they stop the Jets. They decide they're not going to do it. They're going to let the clock tick down, and they're not going to call a timeout despite the fact they have three. And despite the fact they'd moved the ball pretty well. On the Jets. So they don't do that, and the clock ticks down to whatever, 120, 130, and the Jets end up scoring, and they kick off to the Texans. So it's very clear that the Texans want to take it to the house. That's their mindset. So on first down, the Texans decide they're going to run the ball. Obviously, they're still trying to go to the house. Jets call timeout, okay? Texans come out, they throw the ball. Incomplete pass. On third down, they throw the ball again. Danny Amendola catches the ball. They move the chains, and all of a sudden, they're calling timeout. Why are you all of a sudden trying to be aggressive because the Jets decided that they were going to call their timeouts? You didn't have this. Why would you have not had this mindset the entire time? Because you killed 40 seconds not calling those timeouts out of the two-minute warning, but you just changed your mind. And the Texans ended up punting. The offense ended up stalling. They punted to the Jets, and the Jets ended up just taking it to the house after that. But my point is, if you're going to be aggressive, why aren't you calling those timeouts there? And why would you adjust your entire mindset, especially at the end of a half, just because the Jets decide they're going to call a timeout? I just don't understand. I can't follow the line of thinking and the logic of the in-game management here. And it's easy to blame David Culley, because I don't think David Culley knows what the hell he's doing. But there are guys there helping him. Frank Ross is on a headset trying to tell him everything. So it's not just David Culley. There's no grasp and there's no identity and there's no awareness of what it takes to win a game. And we could just list everything from the guys who play, the rules, etc. But just that basic fundamental, when you are trying to win, you're not trying to lose on purpose. It's really hard. It's hard for anyone that's ever played a game of Madden to grasp the way the Texans manage games.
I feel like it's 2019 all over again. I feel like it's 2020 all over again when Bill O'Brien was here. There was no identity. You didn't know what was what. The only difference is you had Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and he masked a lot of the
saved
issues
all
that you
butts.
Had. But he's not there. And so Tyrod Taylor is not Deshaun Watson. Davis Mills is not Deshaun Watson. And even then, Deshaun Watson had more weapons, more veteran guys that he could get the ball to. And right now, you got a lot of guys on the roster right now that, like we said earlier, wouldn't start in other places in the role that they're in right now. And so that's very difficult to evaluate. But at the same time, in the first half of the game, they moved the ball. They were having some success double team at the point of attack and pulling guards. But then you hear David Culley say, when Justin McCray goes out the game, all right, well, you know, the backup, which is Max Sharping, you know, he can't do the things that Justin McCray did quite as well. So we're not going to run those same type of plays that we're having success with. That's a problem. If your backup is not good enough to just run the same style of play, and you have to adjust that much, that's a problem in itself.
The Texans coaching staff is basically, they're D students when they have a week to study, and then they're F students and the worst student in the class whenever they get a pop quiz. They can come out with a decent game plan that's maybe passing when they have a week to prepare for a team, and maybe you'll see a first half in which the Texans look better than you expected them to, or the game's closer than you'd expect. So when they have time to study, they're like D students at best.
That's passing? I'm from Texas. The D is, yeah. Well, no pass, no play.
Yeah, homie. It's C for us. Yeah, it was C for
we're
us
from
too.
Texas,
I'm not going to give them a C. I'm trying to be as nice as possible. Okay,
so they're failing.
Yeah.
They're
they ain't getting C's. All right, we'll give them a C-. They're C- students when they have a week to prepare. But when there's a pop quiz, and you only have 12 minutes to think about it, and you got to go into half, they're screwed. It's a zero. They're the worst student in the entire class, and that's what I think about this coaching staff. Even when they have all the time, they're going to barely pass or barely fail when they do their very best, when they put in as much time as possible. But as soon as this staff has to make an adjustment, they are terrible. Like even the game they won against Tennessee, like they were up 12-0, and they needed a fluke kick off of the leg in order to take advantage of that. They don't know that they cannot. You cannot give them information and them gather it and get it together. And even when they have it, there's no guarantee it's good. They don't know what they're doing.
The clock management part of it has been a problem all along. No question about that. But when I look at what they have to work with, like is Sean McVay, like how different are things if Sean McVay is here and it's his staff?
See, I don't know.
Year one.
I don't know.
Now year two, because I know that system. I know that system is tried and true. You saw it here. You saw it here in Houston when Kubiak came the first year. It was like, But then after, as time goes on, they became one of the better offenses in the league.
Yeah.
With this particular brand of week to week, this particular brand of we're going to play the matchups, we're going to put this guy here, I don't know how you put things together to where it's actually a success. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
And I'm not expecting wins. I'm just trying to look more like.
No, I'm not talking about wins. I'm talking about looking competent on the offensive side of the ball.
How many shots down the field were there after? Because Tyrod missed Nico Collins in the back right.
No.
Like he should put air.
Nico Collins didn't run the route.
He didn't run the route.
That was a perfectly thrown ball.
But I think
if
there's a little more air on it, I think Nico would go up and get it.
It was a ton of – you talking about the corner route?
It seemed like he was kind of trying to thread the needle a little bit. You put a little more touch
maybe
on that.
Maybe from your vantage point, TV copy, that was a perfectly thrown ball. Nico Collins at the top of his route did not run the route like he was getting the ball. He ran the route like he was not going to get the ball.
Yeah, he slowed up a little bit.
And he realized that the ball was coming, and so he was late.
But the point is, exactly it was there, and on the very next – and then right after that, you threw it to Cooks. How many shots down the field did we see in the second half? None.
Well, at that point, they're trying to play keep away.
Don't play keep away. You're the Texans.
You make a great point. That's a great point. It makes a lot of sense. But they're playing to win the game. And so the best way
to win
the game
is not to lose. They're not playing to win anything.
Yes, and that's the better way to put it. They're playing not to lose the game. They're going to protect the football.
Oh, with that run game?
With that great run game, with David Johnson getting you 2.5 yards per carry and Rex Burkhead getting you about 3.9. Whatever he was, Rex Burkhead needed the ball more.
Oh my God, that's where we're at.
But the problem is this: the problem.
Are we
is
at
this.
Nebraska? Is this Nebraska radio like 10 years ago?
Listen, he's the best.
God,
what you
that's
got
the last
right
time
now.
Someone said that.
Who else?
Honestly, you realize we're to the point where we're doing Nebraska radio. There's never been a point since Nebraska and Plano High School, or whichever one he went to, where someone said Rex Burkhead needs the ball more. That's where we're at.
Yeah, we're there.
Lord. Landry Locker, Wade Smith.
You work with what you got.
In for John Lopez. Coming up, Brandon Cooks gives some brutal honesty. David Culley gives an update on Justin Reed. And Reaction Monday continues next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610, brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Boy, I feel like I'm doing radio in Nebraska in 2012. Wade Smith just said Rex Burkhead needs more touches.
Give him the damn ball, man. Give him the ball.
I don't disagree, but good God. I mean,
would you rather him or David Johnson?
Look.
Think about it.
I don't know. But we're talking about Rex Burkhead needing more touches. What is this, Nebraska 2012? This is insane. We'll hear from David Culley on Justin Reed in a sec. We'll go through the landlocked thoughts at 12:40. But it is Reaction Monday, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Texans fall 21-14. Justin Reed putting timeouts. And the process continues. Culture riding shotgun. Winning games riding bitch. 713-572-4610. 1-0. Wood, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, Landry. How y'all doing? I shouldn't say that. I know how everybody's doing. Now, I want to go back to halftime performance, and I'm going to relate this to Taps. Man, the movie with Tom Cruise. The Marines put on a magnificent show. Man, that was one of the best halftime shows I've seen in my life, the way the Marines was performing out there. That was beautiful. Hey, and now go back to the second half, right before the end of the game, when the Jets are down there, we burning three time out.
With 340
just
left.
Wasting
with 340 left. 340 and it's goal, yes. It was weird, and I'll let you continue because I know you're pissed off about it, but this is where I'm at because it did not feel right. It did not feel right, but I'm almost to the point where if it's just not the dumbest thing I've ever seen when it comes to the in-game management of this staff, I don't think it's as big of a deal. Continue, though. I'm with you, though. It felt weird that they were using those timeouts at 340 when the Jets, it was second and goal from the 16. So they weren't even trying to score.
No doubt. All they wanted was a field goal. And, I mean, and they willing to let us burn timeouts. We are so stupid, not realizing we're going to need timeouts when we go down to throw the ball in the middle of the field. The middle of the field was wide open. They had plenty of time to use the middle of the field, but they don't even know how to make the right play call during a two-minute drive. And most of this is because of Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby. And I'm going to tell you why this is Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby problem. David Culley, he is not a head coach that know how to coach in-game management and make adjustments. The staff that's there that can't help him, everybody understand with this organization, you got to play your role just like the kids. When Jack Easterby got here, they started making changes with the cafeteria, with equipment people. They just started wreaking havoc all through the Houston organization. Now Nick Caserio here, it has not changed. That's the reason why the players have been alienated to the point where they realize they want out of here. And the manager and the coaches, they realize I'm going to stay in my lane because I have to let these people do what they're going to do. Because if I try to speak up, I try to show some initiative and say, hey, this is what we should do. Hey, they know Nick Caserio or Jack Easterby looking over their shoulder. And when you have management like that, you're going to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to let them spin this ship down and let it sink. Because this is on them. Because I'm just trying to keep my head above water. I just to keep my job because I know I'm not going to be here long. And I have another opportunity when I go to Green Bay, go to Dallas, or anywhere they go. And the crazy part about it, you know, when you got a coaching staff like this, they're coaching with the groceries that Nick Caserio paid them. This is what they're working with. You got so much young talent out there. You look at the Jets when they bringing off these young players off the bench. You look at Baltimore when they losing their running backs and they got young players. You know, it's just so many teams out there have young players out there, but we want to go out here and get geriatric players and want to put our hope in them and want to talk about when we got to give Nick Caserio a chance. No, Nick Caserio is the problem here. He's the reason why this coaching staff can and these players, we don't have any playmakers. We don't have anything that we can build on and say, oh, man, I look forward to watching these boys grow and taking it to the next level. Because this is what he created. This is what he put together. This is the reason why, Landry, you want to give them a D. Nick Caserio deserves an F.
Wood, we appreciate the call.
I hope you saved that one.
Yeah, he deserves an F. I'm going to be patient with Nick. But the time management thing he mentioned I think is weird. And it felt weird. And you tell me what you think about this, Smitty. So you have three timeouts.
Yeah.
Right? The game, it's 18-14 mm-hmm. at that point. The mm-hmm. Jets are clearly trying to kick a field goal. So it's first and goal from the 18. The Jets, they run the ball from the 18. So they're clearly settling for the field goal
mm-hmm.
with 3:54 remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Texans call a timeout. 3:47, second and goal from the 13. Zach Wilson, a pass behind the line of scrimmage for minus 3 yards. Texans call another timeout with 3:47 remaining. So then you go to third and goal with 3:40 left, and the Texans call the timeout with 3:37. Jets then kick the field goal. Texans get the ball, no timeouts left. That did feel kind of weird because it's not like you're like aggressively trying to keep them out of the end zone. It's going to be 40 seconds no matter what, and you're just trying to get them to settle for a field goal. But if it's not the dumbest thing in the world, I don't feel like it's that bad. Like, they're almost graded on a curve when it comes to clock management. If Bill Belichick, Frank Reich, Mike Vrabel did that, I would say, what exactly are they doing? But right. Here, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, so when I saw it live, it didn't make sense to me why they called all three timeouts. If you call it on first down and second down and then let it run on third down, then they kick, that makes sense to me. If you wait to second down and third down to call it, but you still save that one timeout, that makes sense to me. Because now you have a timeout and a two-minute warning.
And then when you go, then when you have a turnover on downs like they did, you still have a timeout or two.
Right, but they didn't do that. And I did not understand that thought process of we needed to get the ball back with 3 minutes and 30-something seconds with no timeouts. Like, you know, sometimes you want to save that timeout for multiple reasons. So I didn't understand it. I just didn't understand it. But it didn't surprise me. That's par for the course. You've been seeing them. Like, I didn't understand how they handled the end of the first half. I didn't understand why they did it the way they did at the end of the game.
But plus the math is easy there, because if it were 3rd and 10 from the 18, then, you know, you got to factor in, well, maybe they get a first down. You got to figure it out. But when it's 3rd and 18 and they're clearly not trying to score, that's where the math is very easy. You're going to lose 120 seconds. Assuming that you can tackle them and keep them out of the end zone 18 yards. So it's not like you're like battling, well, if they get a first down and they move the chains, like it's laid out there. Like this is not honors. This is not honors in game management. This is like Pop Warner type stuff. It's right there for you.
It seems like it would be pretty straightforward, and I have more problems.
You're being nice as hell today.
I have more problems with, you know, on 3rd and 1, the center getting blown in the backfield and you not being able to convert once you do get the ball back, or the decision to throw the ball to Nico Collins on 4th down as opposed to throwing it to Brandon Cooks. Those are the things that I didn't understand. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. Like if this is a critical down and distance, you got to get the ball in the hands of your best players. And Those were big issues for the Texans yesterday, because it just, you can't compound the fact that you don't have enough really good players by not getting the ball to the really good players that you do have.
Yeah.
Like, you can't compound it, because now you're not giving yourself a chance to win.
Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Reaction Monday continues. David Coley on Justin Reed and the landlocked thoughts that you read on Sports Radio 610. Texans fall to the Jets 21-14. Texans Ticket Tuesday reminder tomorrow, 45 after the hour, every hour. Get a chance to check out those Indianapolis Colts. The Landlocked Thoughts coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday from the Twin Peaks Studios on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Keeping Texas chill. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Deshaun Watson wants out. J.J. Watt, he wanted out. A lot of coaches never even entertained coming in. Whitney Merciless, when he left, he said the Texans got problems at the tippity top. Randall Cobb never had handcuffs slapped on those wrists, but he said, I got out of jail when I left the Houston Texans. Zach Cunningham had a spat. Desmond King in timeout, a healthy scratch. Charles Omenihu, healthy scratch, shipped to San Francisco. Culture, 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 culture. That's all we hear. But when you tell me that Justin Reed has a problem with the culture, and you tell me that Justin Reed is a healthy scratch, Justin Reed is breaking rules, that's when the eyebrows raise a little bit. 713-572-4610 to get in. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig holding it down. Here was David Coley, Smitty, talking about that rule breaker, that bad person, Justin Reed, breaking rules yesterday and not being on the field. Here's the coach of your Houston Texans trying to explain the weirdness that continues with the Kirby culture.
Justin Reed, and Justin, well, you said that you would know more today if you decided yet if he would play against the next game.
We'll have a meeting this afternoon and we'll talk about it.
Have you determined more about Reed as your current?
We'll talk about it a little bit more today, John.
Looking for when you have your discussion with him?
Well, just to make sure he understands that we're all in everything that we're doing, you know, and I'm not saying that he wasn't all in, but, you know, we have rules and we have standards here, and I just felt like that last week during that particular situation, he didn't meet those standards, and when that happens, then I made a decision.
What is sort of your standard for when coaches and players disagree in a meeting or a practice?
It wasn't just in a disagreement. It had something to do with our rules and our standards. It wasn't just in a disagreement.
What is the challenge for you as the head coach when you have a situation like this involving Justin midseason, challenges of not allowing this to become a distraction within the team?
Well, it's not a distraction anymore. We took care of it. And, we, you know, those things happen, you take care of them, and then you move on. And that's what we're doing in this situation.
Okay. Wade.
Not a distraction anymore.
There's a lot of people wanting to weigh in on this. We're going to have the Landlocked Thoughts. We'll just start right there with the Justin Reed thing. The thoughts that you can read on sportsradio610.com, Justin Reed being a healthy scratch, I think it's one of the most surprising things that has happened in a very surprising 2021. I'm very, very surprised. I wasn't shocked that Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded. Hell, I would have wanted to be traded if I had been here from early 2019 to now when Jack Easterby arrived and basically stripped everything. So I don't blame that. That didn't surprise me. Charles Omenihu, Desmond King didn't surprise me. JJ getting released, we saw that coming last year. But this really, really surprised me. But I understand both perspectives. I'm not here to say who's right, who's wrong. I think the Texans lack credibility right now. They're trying to earn that. But from their perspective, they need guys to buy in. And from Justin Reed's perspective, if I were drafted in 2018 like Justin Reed, and I was brought into this situation, I ain't buying what they're selling. And they need you to buy what they're selling because they're trying to build that culture. So I understand both perspectives, as surprising as this is.
Listen, when you have a person like Justin Reed get set down for breaking a rule, I need to know what that rule was, because Justin Reed is not a rule breaker. And it's surprising to hear that he broke a rule in such a significant fashion that he had to be set down for the game.
Yeah, man, that's so vague.
I mean, it's
so vague.
There's a standard and there's rules, so.
So he doesn't fit your standard, he broke the rule.
He broke the rule, so he got to sit. And like I said, there's a couple of players that basically stood on that table and said, yeah, he broke the rule, so it is what it is. I'm not going to talk about it because they told us this is how it's going to be. I just find it hard to reconcile that Justin Reed is one of those. I think David Johnson might be the only other player on the team that I would be more surprised if they got set down because of breaking a rule. Like Justin Reed, David Johnson, you know.
Brandon Cooks.
No, Brandon Cooks has shown.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He's
say
shown
BS.
He does things the right way, but he's still a competitor, and he wants to. And sometimes his emotions can get the best of him. He's a human being. The problem is that they want a lot of robots. They want people they can control. They want people to just go put their heads down. And there's a lot of emotion and things that come into play when you're talking about playing this game, especially at a high level. And so sometimes you're not going to agree with what the person. It's something that I found out as NFL players. Like early on in your career, you think every coach knows what the hell they're talking about. They're NFL coaches. They got to know what they're talking about. As time passes, you'd be like, "This, he don't know what the hell he's talking about. I'm not going to listen to him anymore. Or I'm not going to listen to this person. Or I'm not going to pay attention to that." You find that out as time goes on. They're trying to build something from scratch, and so they can't let it be found out. They got to have as many people all the way bought in, or they got to have enough people playing the game that won't call it for what it is when they see it in real time. And so I think this is what you have going on here. Like Justin Reed probably was like, "I'm tired of like toeing the line. Like this is BS, and I'm gonna say this is I don't agree with this, and it is what it is. I know you guys are gonna do what you're gonna do, but I'm not."
Some coaches allow that. Like there are some coaches who allow that. I mean, you can speak to it better than me, but
I don't think that there's many coaches that would allow that in this particular timeline of what they're trying to implement. When you're trying to implement a system and you're trying to lay down, that's with any business, any type of, whether you are whether you're Pablo Escobar.
But I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it? If you're trying to implement a system and you're trying to implement what you're about, you cannot have dissenters within that.
But what if
culture.
What if you just disagree? It just seems like you're asking players to go out there and be professional and put it all out there, but then you're asking them to act a certain way because of where you're at.
That's exactly what they're doing.
That's messed up, man.
But that's exactly what they're doing.
Messed up. Like if I were this is the problem with the Justin
Reed. Is it about
thing.
Messed up? That's what it is.
Yeah, it's both what it perspectives, is. But I mean I'm talking from Justin Reed's perspective. That's messed up.
Yeah, but Justin Reed's got to play the game. You got to play the game. Or reap the consequences of it. And he probably doesn't care about the consequences. So at the end of the day, it is what time will tell. We'll see. Like, but, I mean, most of the guys that were here before the change was made over, they had the ability to get out. They got out.
Yeah.
The ones that had the ability to get out, they figured out a way to get out.
And that'll be interesting because Brandon Cooks himself said that guys are trying to put stuff on tape. This was Brandon Cooks. I thought this was very interesting. This was Brandon Cooks on Texans radio today. Talking about something that I've never heard someone actually say publicly during a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, you know, like I tell guys, you know, at the end of the day, we signed up for 17. No matter how bad it looks, we just got to continue to go back to work. And, you know, I'm a hopeful guy, so I'm always hopeful that things going to change. But, you know, it is what it is. We are what we are this year and have been. But at the end of the day, you wake up. And you got another chance to go put great film out there because, like I always say, there's 31 other teams watching. So it's not about what's just going on here. That's about, you know, future stuff. As we know, this game is a business as well. So you don't want to give anyone an excuse not to want you elsewhere either.
All right. So I want to know what this rule is. We'll get to the call, 713-572-4610. Justin Reed, the first landlocked dot. I want to know what these rules are because – I feel like if I like were on my own episode of Saved by the Bell, and let's say I was one of the characters, Charles Aminihu was one of the characters, Desmond King was one of the characters, and Justin Reed was another one of the characters. I feel like if I tried to pull like a Zach and say, let's cut class, mm-hmm. I feel like I could talk Desmond King and Charles Aminihu into it. Justin Reed's going to be there before the bell rings. So I want to know what the hell this rule is that Justin Reed broke. I want to know what this role is. I really do. And I think David Culley's kind of kidding himself if he thinks he's just going to put it. You already saw Ryan Clark say and heard him say what he said. And that was clearly from Justin Reed.
It's a distraction.
You can't vaguely put out there that my man's broke a rule if it wasn't something significant. And I think if it was something significant, I don't think Ryan Clark speaks. Like, I don't think, like, look, Ryan Clark didn't go rogue and go out there with Justin Reed knowing that he's in this situation and say what he said. Justin Reed didn't talk to Mark Berman because he skipped a team meeting or did something crazy. Like, I want to hear this rule. I want to know what this rule was that he broke. I don't want to hear this in-house crap because.
But that's fine. That's
man.
The fact of the matter. Like, okay, there's certain states that you can do certain things, and other states you can't.
It's
do
an
certain
abuse
things.
Of power, though, bro. Like, the thing about it is,
I don't disagree. Like the thing I'm about, just telling you, that's look, the rules are the rules.
But
people
but,
say that all the time. The rules are the
not
rules.
Fair, man.
The
like,
rules are the rules. But, it's not about fair, Landry.
Smitty.
It's not about fair.
This is
not about fair.
This is the problem.
It's not about fair.
I don't care about fair.
Can you get it done or can you not get it done?
This is the thing.
Can you get it done or can you not get it done? If you can't get it done, then 3-4 years from now, they'll be on to the next person.
But here's the thing. Like, we hear about players missing, getting punished for conduct detrimental to the team, or he missed a meeting, et cetera. Like, tell us what the rule was. Because it comes across with all the petty stuff that goes on with the Texans, going through the landlocked dots here on sportsradio610.com, it comes across to me, and I know this team better than 99% of the people like in the city. That's my job. That's what I do. But just based on my educated opinion, when I hear David Culley go up there and say, he broke a team rule, it seems like you're making it so vague because the chances are it's a silly-ass rule. That's what it comes across as. It comes across as it is a silly ass rule. It might be a rule that's up for interpretation. It's not you show up at this time, you're late, you don't practice, etc. It seems like it's a rule that might be up for interpretation, and it seems like it could potentially be petty because Justin Reed sure as hell ain't shying away from it, and the Texans are leaving it as vague as possible.
Does somebody ask Justin Reed what was the rule you broke, and does he answer it? That's the question. Does somebody ask him that, and does he answer that question? This is the rule I broke. He's already broken the shield, I guess you can say. He is brought.
How important is the G code? You're a player. Like, how important is the G code? Are the Texans such a rare exception that it won't be held against Justin Reed? Because I think if a New England Patriot did what Justin Reed has done right now, and they wouldn't, you know that. But if they did, then, boy, you would not get the benefit of the doubt. Bill Belichick has too much credibility, has too much skins on the wall. I think even coaches on the lower tier, the Tomlins, the Vrabels, the Reichs. Like, if you did that, I feel like there would be a G code from a player's perspective where it'd be like, what's up? But are the Texans, like, that much of an eye roll that it's not as risky for Justin Reed to do it?
But I don't know what you mean by risky, because you got to understand in New York.
Like, is he hurting himself as an upcoming free agent? Like, are they going to look at this and say, what's up with you?
I don't think so. He has too much history and evidence of being the opposite of a malcontent.
And the Texans' history is the opposite, correct?
That is correct for the past few years or so. But this is the problem. If it was in New England, they probably would have just let him go. Or they would just set him until he capitulated, because they don't care. They're gonna be like, "Listen, you're the part of this team or you're not. Like, you're gonna do it our way or you're not. But we're not going to flex, or we're not going to bend for anybody." It's hard to implement systems like that in different places. That's why they don't work in different places. That what's done in New England is a unique situation as there is one in sports, period.
But you know what pisses me off the most about this? And this is like, I think people who work for a boss or people who look at a coach can relate to, is I think a lot of times there are necessary actions that need to be taken to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the blowhard boss, the blowhard CEO, the blowhard manager, the blowhard football coach, they do stuff like this.
See, Culley's not a blowhard, though.
Well, he's acting like one. I mean, I think he acted like one. I do. I think he acted like one with this Justin Reed thing, this rule thing, and all that. I think he's coming across as a blowhard. And maybe it's not him, but I think this is coming across as kind of bloody petty blowhard. It's just. But what bothers me about this is that when you do stuff like this, and then Desmond King has two interceptions, or Charles Omenihu comes out there and looks good, or Justin Reed comes back and does his thing, or Zach Cunningham's out there balling like he has the last 2 years. Like, the blowhard pettiness, the person who does this, they come out and they say, see, he's reacting to what we're doing. Bob Knight's players did not go out there and win championships in the 80s because he put them in chokeholds and slammed them against lockers and pulled his pants down and showed them his bare ass. Okay, there's got to be like some sort of line in the sand, but the blowharded BS, over romanticized stuff, it always gets justified and it always gets validated whenever it works. Like Justin Reed, could you see Justin Reed? Justin Reed goes out there on the field. Justin Reed gets two interceptions or whatever, and all of a sudden it's like, see, we sent the message and Justin Reed responded just like Desmond King in Tennessee. That's what bothers me about stuff like this.
I have no First of all,
am I on too much of a soapbox right now? It bothers me. This petty stuff bothers me. Not in New England, but here it bothers me.
Of course, but see, in New England, it's different because the person that's making the decisions has earned ultimate respect.
He built it. He didn't mooch off of it. And right. I think Caserio did. I think Caserio was there for two decades. So I got to give Caserio that. This culture thing, though, we know who. Go on the team website. This isn't my words. Go on the team website. Click on the Jack Easterby bio. It says oversees the culture of the organization. That's not my words. That's their words. He is a latch on in New England.
I just look at it like this. I think there's a lot of players in that locker room that know kind of the situation they're in right now, and they know that David Culley's been put in a precarious position, and they know they understand things for what they are. And Culley probably didn't have a bunch of different rules, but I'm sure there was a rule that had to do with
what rule?
I don't know, but I don't know what the specific rule was, but there's not can't be that many of them, especially with him, because he's not a blowhard type of coach. He's not that type of guy. And so if he broke a rule, it's something like I said.
Yeah, but Justin Reed ain't that type of guy either. But David Culley
is the
face.
Not that type of David, guy. But I know he's not that type of guy.
Would you say the Texans have had some blowhard tendencies?
What do you mean by that?
Like in the last few years, have they done like some blowhard?
Of course. They micromanage everything.
But David Culley's the face of that. So he's not a blowhard guy, but he's the face of it.
Ever since Gary Kubiak was put out of the building, that micromanagement type of style of management has been in the building.
Exactly. And Culley's hasn't changed. Culley's the face of it.
He's the face of it because they made him the face of it. He's not the face of it because that's the type of person
he is.
But
doesn't he have to do what they want him to do?
Exactly. They do. They do. And so to me, and I don't know exactly what happened, but it probably has something to do with, I don't know if disrespect is the right word, but hey, like, y'all understand.
So what are we in grade school now? Respect the teacher? That's what we're doing?
Hey,
what time's nap time down there? You understand
the role that I'm in right now.
We going square pizza like, or grilled
don't,
cheese?
Don't call me out in front of the entire group, because you know that I am just the face here. I am not the maestro. I'm not the one pulling the strings. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Like if it's almost like your malcontent is pointed in the wrong direction.
But if that's the case, what you're saying, and I agree with you, but if that's the case, Smitty, isn't it almost more respectful to treat him like he's not the maestro? Like, isn't it almost respectful to treat David Culley like he is the one doing this? Or is there just supposed to be like some sort of understanding where Justin Reed says...
He could have very well did it just that way, but the way it came across, like... It's almost like you know someone is not the one pulling the strings, but you can't say it out loud. You can't say it in front of everybody. Do you understand? Because once you do that, you undermine everything. And I don't know if that's what happened. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of reasonable scenarios where Justin Reed could have very well been like, hey, man, you know, I know y'all asked me about this, and I know really you're not the one making the decision. I don't agree with this, but, you know, people upstairs are going to be the one. He could have put it that way. It could be the absolute truth and the facts. But you can't say that out loud without – there's smoke and mirrors in everything. And you cannot pull the curtain down or pull the curtain back and then there not be any repercussions of it. You just can't. That's with any business, you gotta play the game. That's what Cooks is talking about when he was like, don't do anything that's going to ruin you going elsewhere because you don't know the situation you're going elsewhere. He didn't play the game apparently, and maybe what he did he didn't think was worthy enough of being deactivated. But now he found out okay, this is what it is. They've drawn their line in the sand, and some people are gonna buck, and some people are gonna be like, hey, I'm definitely, if they did it to Jay Reed, I'm not gonna let them do it to me. And that's what they need and want. Now, is it gonna work for them? I have no confidence that it's going to work.
Yeah.
I have none. I have zero confidence because I haven't seen it work anywhere else.
Yeah, I can get
I've seen you try to do these type of things, but I haven't seen it work. So I would love for it to work, but I don't see how it's going to work.
I can get both.
They don't have an offensive system. Defensively, they got a great system that's working for them with what they're doing well. I'm going to call it great because with what they're working with, they're doing some excellent things.
Excellent.
On the defense side of the ball, the creating turnovers, a lot of stuff. But Lovie Smith, his thing is tried and true. He's been doing this for years now, right? Yeah. On the offensive side of the ball, you got a bunch of people that the ones that are decision makers that are with this whole week-to-week matchups and all that, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see how it's going to work.
Let's go around the NFL. Larry and Stafford, I see he wants to get in. A lot of people want to get in on this Justin Reed thing. Reaction Monday continues. As usual, the culture riding shotgun, wins and losses, they're bunched in the back. Round the league next.
I'm disgusted with this old sorry-ass team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.